Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Pro Wrestling Torch Livecast for Friday, April the 20th, 2017. I'm Bruce Mitchell, senior sports columnist. Welcome to the Friday Livecast. Lots to talk about, and we'll get to that. Before we do that, I want to send my condolences out to the family of our friend Jason from Australia. Jason is fine, but he's a big important part of the show, and he'll be back, but again, want to do that. Also, of course, Rosie of 3 Minute Warning and the brother of Roman Reigns passed away earlier this week. And then something of a wrestling podcast or wrestling podcast pioneer, Doc Young, who started Wrestling Weekly. And you probably couldn't start it with a wrestling podcast with anybody more experienced or more eloquent and articulate about professional wrestling than Les Thatcher. And it was my privilege to be on that show a few times. And Doc passed away this week, young age, and under very difficult circumstances for the last 10 years. So anyway, rest in peace, Doc Young. So we'll start with those kind of somber things, and then we'll go right to, our friend Rich Penn in Pittsburgh. In a beautiful transition. Rich, how's it going on this Friday night?
Good. Unfortunately, work ran a little late, so I may be on my Bluetooth for a few minutes because my wife has assigned me to pick up dinner, at least the recipe items that she does not have.
Well, you know, admiration for your other half is just better half is has no bounds. So do whatever she says, and we'll work through it. No problem. So
I also join in my condolences and look forward. It should be a fun show. I think, like you said, there's a ton of fun things to talk about this week.
Yeah, you want to start with Jinder Mahal? I've kind of enjoyed the all the teeth gnashing about Jinder Mahal. Oh my God, got a title shot against Randy Orton for the WWE title. And what's your take on Jinder Mahal?
Well, I got a couple of things. First, I believe this is going to be something that wrestling fans, as long as this roster split stays intact, have to get used to. I'm going to call it from now on the James Ellsworth title shot that occurs post-WrestleMania pre-SummerSlam for someone. And it's going to be someone obscure, someone that's probably been looked at as a loser or a jobber, and they get shot to the top of the card. The champ defends the title, no one's hurt, and we get out of it. Now, the interesting thing for me is I was always one of the few people, I think, who enjoyed Muhammad Hassan's character prior to the 6-8 bombings where he had the splinter cell and all that idiocy. Because of the fact he challenged the fans to dislike him for something outside of the hallmarks he mentioned. You know, I'm rich, I'm Persian, and I am articulate, and there really isn't anything I do that's cheating, even though he's cheated from time to time. So I enjoy that part about Jinder with this new whatever persona he has. But my issue is, and this kind of goes to representation in the writing room, you have an Indian wrestler doing that, and then you have a Persian wrestler on 205 Live doing the exact same gimmick less than 2 hours later.
That's a good point.
All these rich guys are wrestling. Why are they wrestling?
Yeah, no kidding. So, yeah.
I mean, if Jinder has this money from Bangalore, and I want to say it was Davari has this money from either the Saudi oil fields or whatever they're alluding to, like, why haven't they just bought out Vince and said, the heck with the white dude, let's just bring this to Bangalore, or let's just bring this to insert you know, city here.
Well, you can't be richer than Vince McMahon. Come on now, Rich. We know that. You can't be more of a man and you have more money and more power than Vince McMahon. He's, you can't buy him out. Ted Turner couldn't buy him out. He could buy out Ted Turner now. So, no, that's part of the psychology. But I know exactly what you're saying. I'm not offended by this elevation, and I think that that down the road, whether he's good enough, I do have my questions about his physique and what it says overall about their health and wellness policy. But people have been finding ways to do things for years around this stuff, and also just maybe he's someone who is genetically gifted enough and has done enough with his diet and is at the right point in his life that he can handle that or get through it. So but the other thing to me is just that Jinder Mahal could be, and the Bollywood boys too, could be, you know, the precursors of really trying to establish themselves in India, you know, in with its huge population and, you know, a long tradition of professional wrestling in the country. We've talked about this before, Great Gama and Lou Thesz decades ago setting, you know, doing huge business in that country and in professional wrestling. And so, you know, with China and with India being the two markets that businesses in the United States and businesses around the world look at and go, that aren't in those two countries, look at and go, we'd love to crack that with that population base. I don't think that's a bad idea. I would rather see, though, and part of this is WWE is so bad at this, but why not, instead of you don't accept diversity and doing the foreign heel, why not do the foreign baby face? Why not do the Indian baby face and use the culture and use the touchstones of that in a positive way? And I could understand first getting him over as a heel and all that, or even just featuring him for a while until you find someone that is more, you know, has more of an it factor, has more of a top star appeal that's Indian. And, you know, I could see that. And maybe, Rich, you might have something where we are going to see in these lull periods, particularly for SmackDown, someone rise to the top who takes some television time and maybe gets a title match or two and then goes back to the middle of the card or goes back to the bottom of the card, depending on depending on the type of character that they have. So, yeah, I'm not offended by this, though. I'm not. This is an expose of the one loss record that he has such a bad one loss record because he was a jobber for so many years. Wrestlers get reinvented all the time, and particularly, you know, they have kind of gotten him at a little point, and or he's not the worker that somebody else is. I mean, I think the ethnic background and what they're trying to do with that, and he, you know, he can talk, he can he's a decent enough wrestler and all that. So I'm intrigued by it. I don't feel like it's going to be a big game changer, but I it was interesting. And I also just thought the gloom and doom of you're not pushing the stronger workers. You still don't do that all the time. You have other factors besides strong work in the ring for who you push to the top of the car. So are you in a place where you can talk, Rich?
I think so. I think for the people that complain about the work rate stuff, because I'm a big work rate fan. I watch Evolve, I watch PWG, I watch New Japan. But at the end of the day, it's still, as you allude to, and as numerous people have talked about, you still have to be able to make money and kind of sell stories too. Now, I'd love for us to get to the point where a wrestler of color can have a storyline without it being the first thing you hear about. Or in the case of, like, you know, why couldn't this be a Bullet Club situation with AJ, where the Bollywood boys help him and he's constantly spending in the next few weeks saying, I didn't ask for your help. They're saying, well, we're trying to look out for you, and, you know, something like that, instead of just, I don't want them, because I enjoyed them on the indies, I don't want them to be just put into this role of lackeys without having some, you know, at least a second dimension to them.
Yeah, that's true. And when you're constantly slotting people because of their ethnic background first, that is problematic. And that's problematic, you know, and that says something to people of all ethnic backgrounds. And it says something, you know, it's hard to break one out. Anybody that breaks out, you know, whatever ethnic draw that you can think of, Tiger Jeet Singh, Junkyard Dog, and what I mean by ethnic, by the way, is non-white, that mm-hmm. Dusty Rhodes, that ever worked, appealed to not only their Bruno Sammartino, appealed to not only their base, but their, you know, people that were from their same background, but also to everybody. I mean, that's where that works. And when you can look at WB and go, that guy slotted there because of his ethnicity. That guy slotted there because of it too. That's not appealing. You know, that's a handicap. That's a weight kind of pulling down on folks. So we'll be right back to further this discussion and take your phone calls after this quick plug.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
All right, Rich, do you have any more thoughts about this, or are we ready to take phone calls?
Oh, no. I think we can absolutely take some phone calls, get it rocking and rolling.
All right, good deal. Let's go to your friend and mine, Darrell from Georgia. Darrell, welcome to the PW Torch Livecast.
How you doing, Rich? How you doing, Bruce? How y'all doing today?
Good. I will warn you, Darrell, I'm going to be listening, but I'm going to mute myself because I want to soak up the sun is playing in the grocery store, and it would annoy me if I were listening.
No, I got you. I'll take care of it. All right. Go ahead, Darrell.
Okay. Well, I think with what y'all was just saying, I'm kind of digging what they're doing with Jinder Mahal and moving him up. I know people kind of upset that he's getting the push or whatever, but I'm thinking with just looking at this split, if you didn't move somebody up like Jinder Mahal, maybe even Ty Dillinger to move up in that main event scene, that SmackDown main eventers, who people think is deeper, would go through quicker. The storylines would go through quicker because you already getting AJ versus Kevin Owens. So I think SmackDown as a whole, they need two new people to emerge as top tier or some type of bottom tier main event level or at least top tier at that main event level. What do you think, Bruce?
No, I agree. I mean, that's part of it too. Is if you can have some space holders, for lack of a better term for it, but Randy Orton gets involved with someone who he can beat, and it shines up Randy Orton as the WWE champion. That would be a good thing. I mean, and you know, Randy Orton's not exactly, you know, on fire. And I kind of laughed at, you know, the first week, I guess, was you know, the first week was AJ Styles and Kevin Owens week, and this week was Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal. So as far as SmackDown went, so, you know, I think they saw how odd that was. But, yeah, put the baby face over, give a little bit more to someone that you might have hopes for later on or hopes for down the line, and see what you can do. And then also, you're right, it doesn't burn out with the amount of television they have, with the amount of Sunday night shows and WWE Network shows that they have. It doesn't burn out your main issues so that you're watching Kevin Owens and AJ Styles wrestle so often that as good or great as it's going to be, you're satiated with it. You're tired of it. Let people anticipate it. Let people, you know, do something with it. I mean, it just kind of gets me with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, where something before was a highlight for the professional wrestling business, for the people who followed those two. Now is a good match on television that you've seen too many times. And so managing that is going to mean some of the wrestlers who have other appeal are going to get their, are going to get their chance, going to get, need to take some time up so that you don't burn out the best of the best. And like I said, I don't have that much problem with it. Rich, you want to follow up on that?
Yeah, I think ultimately a lot of this is going to come down to whether or not fans want like a super show that's filled top to bottom, or do you want like the, as Wade talks about, do you want to really watch the journey, or do you want to have our indie darlings show up and we just have the best of that? Because a guy like Mahal getting that shot, if it was a Rocky situation, this is that million and one shot. Maybe he does it, maybe he does. But for us, it's like, well, this guy loses all the time. I don't want to see him. Well, I mean, yeah, I can look at a Roman Reigns and I can count on the number of fingers, the number of times he's lost. But how much of that is going to be, like, how cynical are we going to get with SmackDown or Raw and talk about the roster size when that's always been an issue with the WWE?
Yeah, I think it's a lot. I think it's when you throw out everybody on television, give them all characters, and they have to have some sort of character, and someone's gonna like lose, a good part of the time, and that's how it goes. So I mean, I do think I'd like to see some, as I've said this before, some Carpenter types who are there to and get paid like this, who are there to make other guys look good, who are competitive. And then you save some of the ones that you see potential in. And I guess gender might have, these are body types who run this company as far as what they like to see. And so he probably, working really hard at building his body. He caught their attention. But yeah, I still kind of think down the line, it's looking to establish a presence in India. And that I think is, I think if it's a hard market to break, but if they can, that's a big game changer. And if he can be part of that or even be the guy, that would be, that's not something that our culture may be ready to judge. It might be something that, and that's the other thing is WWE has got to figure out, you don't like diversity. They've got to figure out how to appeal to other cultures besides the WWE culture, but the universe culture that they've created. So, that's definitely part of it. Let's move to our friend Brian in Phoenix, longtime VIP members, a couple of VIP members start the show. Brian, how's your day?
Hey, Bruce, my day has been going great, and hopefully you and Trav have a real good day and a real good weekend.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Rich.
What did I say?
Trav.
I said Travis, didn't I? So I already started a happy hour, so I apologize about that. And I do mean happy hour at an adult beverage place, not in an adult establishment. I apologize about that, Rich. Okay. So like obviously it's a really good Friday, Bruce. So I'll go ahead and get to my question while I'm still embarrassed about that part. So my question actually is about Michael Bennett and about Maria Kanellis Bennett. I want to see what you think about what they can actually do in WWE. According to the published reports, is that they're going to go, I believe it's to SmackDown. I'm not 100% sure. You can clear that up for me. And then also, feeling like maybe with another couple, maybe like Miz and Maurice, what I really don't like, because I think they both couples work better as heels. And also, Bruce and Rich, who would you like to see maybe like Bennett feud with first? Now, I never watched Bennett and Ring of Honor. Actually, I never watched Ring of Honor. The first time I saw Bennett and Maria together was in TNA, or I should say Impact Wrestling. So if you want to talk a little bit about them, what you think their prospects are. Another part I want to actually interject as well is that it's also being published that they're not going to NXT. They're coming right up to the main roster. And since NXT has pretty much been a normal, let's say, television show, with the only exception of AJ Styles, I think AJ has been the only exception that we've had a person that's come in and went directly to the main roster, but he was more of a surprise coming in through the Royal Rumble, last year's Royal Rumble, I should say. So I want to get your opinions, both of yours, Rich and Bruce, about Michael Bennett and Maria and what their things are. And I'll hang on and listen, guys. Thanks a lot.
Ooh, appreciate it. Rich, you want to start with that?
Sure. I would tag this also to what we've been talking about with Jinder Mahal and the foray into getting into India. And that's, if I could use the analogy, Ric Flair style chopping the knees out of TNA. TNA has that deal with India. TNA just had these guys. And I would also add, because Michael Bennett and Maria coming to the main roster wouldn't be it wouldn't be that much of an exception for the TNA people that they're trying to steal away, because they did the same thing with Anderson and Gallows, bringing them up to the main roster as well as part of that pseudo AJ Styles package. But really it was the operation prevent these guys from signing with TNA, you know, mission. So I am very much encouraged by bringing up Maria and Mike Bennett. I enjoyed him in Ring of Honor because I thought the Kingdom was a decent enough stable. I mean, Ring of Honor does a good job with their factions. And I would imagine his first feud would be with Sami Zayn, because, you know, he put him in a ring with an excellent wrestler. He can get the dirty wins with Maria's assistance, and people will hate his guts because he's the pretty boy that, again, much like gender, fits the body type the boss likes.
Yeah, I look at it a little bit differently. I was okay with him in Ring of Honor. I liked her more. I liked Ring of Honor more. And then, of course, there's that TNA thing where I don't know exactly how to say it, but he had a lot of opportunity to talk there. And he had a lot of opportunity to and they gave him the same gimmick a lot of wrestlers have these days, particularly in TNA, which is the guy who thinks he's all that, the guy who's the number one guy, who says he's the number one guy who's going to change the business. And, of course, that's pretty much impossible to do, and it gets a little redundant. But I'm not as big a fan of his, at least the character part. The wrestling is okay. I think she's good. And so I could see, you know, and I also very much applaud, though, that I think there's acts that should go to TNA, and I think obviously, you know, new developing acts and acts that need some work, and also veteran acts that can help TNA keep their brand going and Triple H keep his brand going, and can work with the wrestlers. And then there's some other play, but I think you also ought to be able to go if you're the right fit into a main roster slot on Raw or SmackDown. And so I like that. I don't, you know, it's like I think that, you know, some people know how to look at the hard camera and are ready to do that. And, you know, Anderson and Gallows is a very good example, and it might have been a key to, you know, to getting this act that they wanted. So as far as, Sami Zayn would be good. Sami Zayn would be good. Give him something to do and give Sami Zayn something to work against. It's just a wrestler and a valet, which is better than, you know, get me off of this brand and, you know, when do I get my shot and, you know, and then losing all the time. I mean, I think that might be a more traditional way to use him, and I'd welcome that in certain ways. So, we'll, you know, again, we'll see with Michael Bennett and Maria where they slot in. She's a good talker. She's got a thing about her. So, that ought to be, you know, you've got to, I don't know that she's, in fact, I'm assuming she's not going to wrestle. So, know.
I think she would be, I'm sorry to cut you off, Bruce.
No, that's fine.
She would be better because when I really enjoyed him when he was the prodigy, and she sold it as, I've been to the WWE and I know what they like, and then they would like you as long as you're with me before they actually got married. I thought that was better than the miracle and some of the stuff that followed right before they left, especially with the Kingdom, with his partner breaking his leg, and people only need to know that. But I think Maria, the power of Maria, it's not just her being a pretty girl who happened to be in Playboy that one time. When I watched them in New Japan, you would have a 4-hour wrestling show, and when Maria would get involved in any of the feuds that Mike Bennett was in, it would turn into WWE Osaka, WWE Nagoya, WWE Tokyo, and it was very amazing. It was jarring to me to see them go from strong style to camera angles of her butt. The wrestlers dancing because she danced on the apron and got mesmerized them. Her talking in the back and everyone's just hanging on every word. So I think if she could use that to his advantage on SmackDown, that would be just enough of that quote-unquote sports entertainment to keep Vince occupied while the wrestlers did their work rate-y stuff for the people that want to see that.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that in New Japan, and I wasn't crazy because, yeah, it was so jarring. And also, I'm just never crazy about the idea that, like, dedicated athletes who are fighting for something, even if they're like heels or delusional or comedy figures, whatever it is, you know, a woman showing her butt, no matter how good looking at ringside, is going to distract them from competing. I mean, that just seems so silly to me. And
yeah, even on commentary, you'd have someone like Jushin Liger making lewd comments about her when she would show up. So it was very interesting.
Yeah. So that's it just takes you out of the moment. So, and you know, it's not appropriate for kids, and I don't know, it's all that entertaining to teenagers and grown-ups. Is you just kind of like, real, you know, that guy who works so hard, you know, rest of the time in his character is like really serious about what he's doing, and you know, and then, you know, she turns around and, oh my God, she's on the ring apron. Maybe she'll sleep with me. I forgot I'm in a match. You know, it's like, come on. And having said that, when the mega powers exploded, I thought that was as dumb as anything. Of course, you know, not, and also, I mean, I love the campiness of the screwed up skit. But, when she took her skirt off to show that she was in a one piece bathing suit or whatever it was that, you know, the mom down the street would wear to the community pool, I just thought, and everybody went crazy. I just thought, this is ridiculous. But anyway, so I'm just saying, I'm consistent. I'm just over the years with this stuff. So, Michael Bennett, that's an interesting choice, and Maria doesn't surprise me. So we'll see how they use it, how they use the two of them. And do they have an idea? Is that why they brought it here? So 732, you're up next on the W Torch Livecast.
Hey guys, it's Scott, VIP member, Jamesburg, New Jersey. What's happening, Bruce? What's happening, Richard?
Not much. Doing fine.
Doing good. Happy Friday, Bruce.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it is a long week. Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, my friend. I want to say start by Rich and Bruce. Last week, great job with the JBL situation. Gave some great insight. Bruce, the article last week was powerful in the Observer, with your letter, and I was really impressed with that.
Now, I will say that I very much appreciate that, and I think, Scott, that you kind of can understand it was one foot in one realm, one foot in the other as far as careers go, and you're an educator too, I think it's an important issue, and I expected it to happen this week. Some of it has died down because of the nature of wrestling news and the nature of wrestling, and also just the nature of our culture in the 24-hour, 7-day a week thing. But I don't think this is over. We'll just see. But I think that this issue hasn't just faded away and JBL's okay and everybody just goes back to bully life as usual. So, but we'll see. And it's good to see, you know, Mauro Nalo seems to be back up on his feet. That's definitely a good thing. And of course, if you want to read this, it's on Torch VIP. Yeah, anyway, it's on the Torch VIP site on the newsletter from last week. And also, it's worth saying that Justin Roberts' book is an interesting read as far as a companion to the Mauro Nalo JBL situation, and gives more insight into it. And then he was on the PW Torch livecast last week with Wade Keller talking about this situation. So, again, lots to look at with that. So, Scott, what you got?
I got one current thing and one old school question. First one.
All right, Rich, get ready for that old school thing. You're an old guy, Rich, so be ready.
Rich, you're ready. You're ready for it. First, the current question. Wade was talking about comparisons to the Jinder Mahal. And the which one came to my mind was Royal Rumble 04, when Bob Holly got that title shot against Brock Lesnar. And that was just one example I was thinking about of, like, someone unexpectedly getting that title shot. And, I think, though, again, I'm with you, Bruce. I think that it could be positive, the surprise. And I've also heard some conspiracy theorists saying maybe did they do this to get the word off of the JBL bullying scandal. Have you heard that conspiracy theory, Bruce and Rich?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm on social media much more than I used to be. So, yes, I have. I don't buy that for a second. I'm sorry. I don't. The two things, some things are not equivalent, you know, like false equivalencies, I guess is the term. And just that someone else is, here's this shiny bauble of controversy to distract you from this real controversy over here. Maybe that is, the controversy of the day or the half week for a certain type of wrestling fan, maybe listening to the show, maybe not. But anyway, I can sort of understand that, but that's not where the problem is here. As much as people from all over, wrestling fans from all over, and people in the industry weren't happy, and outside the industry weren't happy with what happened with Mauro Ranallo. That's not where if there's going to be a problem for WWE, if there's going to be change in WWE, it's going to come from not the universe of the wrestling fans or anything like that. It's going to come from corporate America and other forces outside of, the charities and the people that they're working with. So, I don't think so. I just don't think Jinder Mahal is that big of a controversy. It's just more, disappointed in a guy who's getting a title shot because he's been, he's previously an enhancement guy and okay in the ring and okay as a character at best. So, that's just wrestling life. So, you want to chime in on that, Rich?
No, I think you hit on most of the big issues with the gender situation. I don't think it's going to be this huge, especially from what I did in grad school and before I got into working in career services. For me, the whole idea of conspiracies, there's too many things that can go wrong for a conspiracy to actually go through most of the time. And with a company like this that has a mercurial leader at the top, I don't think he's that cunning, or they would be able to execute it without someone blabbing or someone screwing something up.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, very good point. I'm like that in a lot of places in life. Sometimes there are, turn out to be conspiracies, but there are human beings behind them. And then a lot of the times I just think people give too much credit and to the people that they see as being in charge of a conspiracy, where just human nature and incompetence and bad morals take care of a lot of what's there. But yeah, sometimes you're just like, so how would that work with thousands of people chiming in to work with this? And everybody's timing is perfect and all this is like, life is a Mission Impossible movie script. So I'm right there with you. That does make sense.
My second thing, Bruce and Rich. Rich, I don't know if you heard your partner doing a guest spot this week on Between the Sheets. He was wonderful. Bruce, great discussion with you, Vixens fan, and Chris Zellner. It was awesome. But that's what I want to follow up with.
Yes.
Bruce, you were talking on that about this time in 1989 and Barry Windham leaving the NWA. Two quick things in regards to that. First, how successful do you think the situation would have been if Wyndham stayed and he was the one that turned Flair face after the Ricky Steamboat feud ended? That's the first part. And part two, that Widowmaker, when Barry Wyndham came to the WWF in the summer of 89, how long did he last and did they have any plans for him? That's about it, guys. I'll be listening for your response. Rich, you've been a great addition. We miss Trav. And Bruce, keep up the great work as always. I'll be listening.
Appreciate it, Scott. I was Between the Sheets podcast with Chris Zellner and David Vixenband, and talked about the year 1989 and talked about Barry Windham. And one of the things we talked about was, Ric Flair was poised to turn babyface after his series with Ricky Steamboat had finished. And, at first they had in mind his horseman partner, but there was only two horsemen left. Ric Flair and Barry Windham, but that Barry Windham would turn on him, beat him for the NWA title, the WCW title, whatever it was. I mean, the NWA title, and then he would, and then they would have a feud, and Barry was disappointed when he found out. And there was other issues. You can listen to the podcast. I won't go through all of it, but there's some fun stuff there. As far as like what Barry Windham was up to at that time. And also some not so fun stuff as far as that goes with his family and big time legal trouble. So, would it be, you know, if Windham had been the one to turn on, but they brought in Terry Funk, had gotten himself into excellent shape, was coming off of movies and working in Japan and hadn't been seen on the national scene, and he's Terry Funk. And so, could really cement Ric Flair as a babyface going up against a heel like that. I think that Terry Funk was by far the better choice. I think that revisiting at that point, the Horseman faction, as much as I loved it, the Horseman faction and watched it close up those years, wasn't putting that together again. And Barry, as great as he was in the ring, Terry Funk was every bit as great. And then Terry Funk was better at playing the backstabbing, manipulative, scary, cheating heel who, psychic heel and would scare people and play in much better interview. So I think that the problem with Ric Flair and Terry Funk and that talent roster they had assembled in 1989, which was a hell of a talent roster, was Jim Herd. But Jim Herd, the first of the corporate, the people outside of wrestling to come in as corporate people to try to run professional wrestling, that he pulled the plug on some things. He pulled the plug on Terry Funk's career. Terry Funk was 45 years old, but he was Terry Funk and in great shape. He pulled the plug on Ricky Steamboat. So that's kind of where that was. And, as far as the Widowmaker went, the Widowmaker is supposed to be a Western character, the gunslinger who shot people and made a widow, shot the man and then the wife became a widow. And that was, kind of a Western trope in the movies for a long time, but you didn't get to see. So he would have been a heel. He was very good, in the ring and all that, but, they didn't have time to do anything with him because he had to leave to, participate with his family and their legal defense and participate and just kind of stay out for, he was just too hot to have on television. So I don't know. I didn't think the Widowmaker got up and running enough to tell, whether it was going to be a big success or not. Barry Windham was a big part of, was one of the better wrestlers in the world at the point, but wasn't as highly motivated as maybe he'd been in the past. So, I don't know. It might've worked. It might've not. We didn't have enough time to, tell, and which can happen. So let's go to 615. You're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, Rich. This is Kenny from Galveston, Tennessee, VIP member. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, all right.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm just going to round up three couple quick questions, and then I got to get back for my break. I'm working right now. So first question is with you is, I want to get your thoughts. I know you just mentioned Impact earlier. What are your thoughts on the merger with Impact and BFW? The second question is, what's the situation with Ring of Honor and WWE, negotiations on that? And number three, on get back to work. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right. I heard most of the first one and all the second one, and I'm afraid we're going to have to – the third one didn't come through. So, Rich, who is he talking about in the first one, though?
Oh, first one – Impact Wrestling bragged about the fact that they've merged with Global Force Wrestling, which apparently should mean something. Not to his question. I mean, I don't want to be flipping to him. I'm flipping to anything Jeff Jarrett does because, as a friend mentioned, never give that man money. And I couldn't hear the second one or third one.
Okay, I got the second one, and I think either one of us could hear it. I think the third one was lost in the ether. Jeff Jarrett tried to get Global Force up and running for a while. We were hearing he had financial backing, but it didn't seem like, I don't know whether that person pulled out or what exactly came of it, but he was trying to make television deals because it's a television business now as far as funding the wrestling company itself, and he was never able to get that. And there was, Global Wrestling in fits and starts and has some association with a lot of talented wrestlers, but it really wasn't association. It was more association than it was contractual rights or anything like that. So, I think it's just Jarrett has a name. Glove Force had something of a name, and you know, it was kind of on life support, about to get the plug pulled on it when he got control of Impact. And so, you know, you expected to hear that. And I think one of the things that Jarrett's trying to do, is to trumpet these associations with AAA or with NOAH and make it seem like this is a, you know, a bigger world and all that. And we've seen this game for the last 25 years and, mm-hmm. you know, just seeming like you're major league or seeming like we've got this talent back and forth in these imperfect, you know, in these imperfect associations. You know, they've got, you know, they're 7 weeks into Impact is 7 weeks into the new reign, and they've got to build from a, you know, from the bottom, and that can be a good thing. And I'd say they're mediocrely successful, or they're, you know, they're okay, but I don't buy much of that. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think one of the fun things about the WWE Network is confirming something that was in the back of my head growing up, from about my teenage years to now me being an adult. Jeff Jarrett is the canary in the coal mine for when you think something was cool and it's gone well past its sell-by date. Be it the NWO, be it when he created the West Texas.
Oh, man. That's, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Be it when he joined the Bullet Club. Be it when he joins Impact Wrestling with Global Force Wrestling. Anytime you see Jeff Jarrett as the face of something, it's as Cam and Trav did on the East Coast cast, they had to educate me to the fact that the dab is long since dead, and anytime you see TJ Perkins doing it, he's just reinforcing that fact. So he is the dad at a high school graduation doing the dab and thinking he's cool. And he's been that way for almost 20 years.
Well, wait a minute. When the Carolina Panthers go undefeated this year in the NFL, they had, you know, they had a little difficulty last year. They almost went undefeated the year before that. And Cam Newton retakes his rightful place at the, you know, as king of the NFL, the dab will be back.
Here's the thing, though, Bruce. I think if that undefeated record happens, I think by that point Cam will have another move or another dance that will be in the ether. That will be in the moment. I don't think Cam's going to do the Charleston after scoring a touchdown. You know what I mean?
Very well put. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And yeah, there's something too, to put it like this. And I think you'll see this as your son grows. Right now and then as he goes through, and I do this as a teacher, when I do the dab, I am like the dad making you cringe, and I know it, you know, it's like for those kids, so it's like they're laughing going, I can't believe that man's doing that. And so but if you're like trying, but if I was out there really doing, if I was at the, you know, if I was, I don't know where I'd be doing it, but if I went to a club where maybe I'd be a little old for it, and then went out and dressed up like the youngsters and all that, you would, you know, it'd be cringeworthy, big time. And so, yeah, there's something to it. But I do like the idea that, yeah, he's the past the sell by date is when Jeff Jarrett's participating in your once cool faction. You know, that's there's history to that one.
And it's so, for me, looking at Impact, if you're going to say Global Force is this great addition to the roster, it's not going to be as helpful because, hey, keep it down, Magoo.
speaking of which.
Yeah, perfect timing. Bruce and I were just talking about how uncool I'll be to Trey when I'm doing certain things as he gets older. That happens in life, dear. Surprise, surprise. Parents get old, we get uncool. It's fine. That's what everyone says, dear. Melissa's of the opinion we'll be in walkers and we'll still be cool. I don't know how to break it to her that she's going to be that mom that then I have to worry about all the kids coming over and asking if Mrs. Fan is there. So that's more stress for me.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm staying out of this. I was about to say she'll always be cool because of her, you know, associations. But, yeah, holy fuck, yeah. I was always very great when I was growing up at that age and, you know, had music and cool music was really important to me. I was so happy that my parents had no interest in that whatsoever. They'd come out and you know, I'll go to the concert with you. I think I would have just melted into a puddle. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah, and that's that. That's really Jeff Jarrett for me, because his tag team champions are currently the lackeys of Jinder Mahal. The Global Force tag champs, as of today, are still the Bollywood Boys.
Oh my God! You know what? You know what? We're switching sides. I'm gonna go be the guest and you be the host, because you really have a knowledge. But if you know who the Global Force tag team champions are, you have a knowledge that certainly supersedes mine. Holy smoke! Yeah, that's a point.
Well, that for me, it's really because I like some of those niche wrestlers. And again, going back to what we were talking about at the beginning, I liked the Bollywood Boys when they were independent wrestlers, because they weren't this over the top, we're Indian. It's like, yes, we have the culture. They came out to Punjabi MC Remix, which was, again, coming back to our conversation, a cool song maybe 5-7 years ago, which is a perfect song as an entrance theme for a wrestler, because it has the recognizability. You know the beat, you know you can do the claps, everything else, and they come out, they do some bhangra dancing. They had some really cool moves. I equated them to the Young Bucks, to Cam and Travis, and that instantly turned them off, which was my fatal flaw. And, you know, I appreciated them. But then watching them in a baseball stadium with 80 people, it kind of loses its luster, you know? So, yeah, I'm not exactly overwhelmed with the Global Force Wrestling Impact merger.
Yeah, I agree with that. And as far as, I'm going to go really quickly on that last part. As far as Ring of Honor and WWE, WWE was interested in buying Ring of Honor to get their tape library where, you know, clearly Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens is on it, Brian Danielson, Daniel Bryan, AJ Styles, all kinds of, you know, Tyler Black, Seth Rollins, all kinds of folks that they could market. And also to shut down Ring of Honor and get rid of some competition that, you know, very much wanting to be professional wrestling. You know, WWE, all of professional wrestling is a dollar being made. It really is generated by WWE. And so, you know, you're trying to hold down, I mean, that's just ruthless aggression, or whatever you want to call that, that betray. So, we'll be right back after this message.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
647, you're up next on the PW Torch Livecast.
Hi, this is Mark from Ontario. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Mark.
So my first thing before my question is, I got a message for Todd Martin, go Leafs go. So my question is, now that you've got your booking mind meld with Vince, with Roman, I'm curious about what is the finish between Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe at their first match, and how far does that go? Does that go to SummerSlam?
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask me what the finish would be for Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman. And I don't have any – this is not spoiler alert stuff. This is just me watching television. I would do Seth Rollins wins the match. And then after the match, you know, wins it with the pedigree. And then, and that Joe gets a good amount of the offense during the match. And hopefully it's a good, you know, hopefully it's a very good match. And that Joe does something despicable after the match to beat up, you know, or get some help to beat up Seth Rollins. And I wonder whether we'll see Dean Ambrose play into this at some point, and later on down the line, Roman Reigns as a Shield thing. But yeah, I think that I don't think you beat Seth Rollins coming out of beating God, slaying God, I should say. So I think that, you know, I think the traditional WWE thing of having the heel win the first one, I'm not sure that's where you want to be. I mean, I think it'd be more, you know, Joe pitches a fit and goes crazy and beats him up after the match. But that's just my speculation.
Yeah, he's the Kingslayer of the King of Kings. So basically, short of Longinus, the guy who stabbed Jesus on the cross with the spear, there's no one better than Seth Rollins. I would agree with Bruce.
With the spear,
that was
yeah.
my Dennis Miller impersonation for a few moments for the live cast. People were like, hey, what now? My big thing with it is on the house show circuit and in the dark matches, he's debuting a finisher where it's like a ripcord knee to the head using his injured knee, which looks cool but makes zero sense to me. If he's going to debut, especially because since it's his right knee, visually, it doesn't look as attractive as if he used the far knee. It's kind of like if you ever saw Keiji Muto do the Shining Wizard, you use the left leg because that's the one that when you're looking at the hard camera, it's going to be the one that's closest to the camera. So using your right leg is going to look really weird, and so that whole thing is going to look really weird to me. But yeah, I think he has to win, and I would venture to say, you know, I have no insider knowledge when it comes to the Roman Reigns finish. I think Roman should lose by some sort of chicanery. But I also think, and this is me going a step further than Vince and fully melding with a step further than Bruce, I'm sorry, and melding with Vince's mind, they would be reticent to miss the opportunity of using his brother's death to make him more of a sympathetic babyface.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know, I haven't really thought about that. Yeah.
Like, if they thought
there was a dollar in it, they'd do it. If they thought it would help Roman Reigns, they'd do it in a heartbeat, and they'd say the family's behind it because they're a wrestling family and blah, 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 and then everyone's their feelings, you know, they do what happens in wrestling. But, yeah, I wonder about that. We'll see. I wouldn't do that. I don't think that he's a beloved. I don't think that – I think it'd be too transparent, and, you know, he was a – opening match guy. He was a good one. But he was an opening match guy who had been on television in many years. So I don't know that I think that fans wouldn't go for that. So, you know, they're already looking for reasons. You know, as we all know, looking for reasons not to like Roman Reigns. And that would be just too transparent of an exploitation to work, I think. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they haven't discussed it or actually even do it.
I mean, they did it with Reed, so I figured no line is too far for them to cross.
No line is too far for them to cross. No, absolutely not. So, yeah, they did it with the ashes of Paul Bearer. So,
oh gosh, I forgot about CM Punk fumbling.
So there's multiple examples with that. All right, let's go to, I believe this may be the returning Jason from Australia. Welcome to PW Torch Livecast.
Yeah, thanks Bruce and Rich. And first of all, Bruce, I heard that message you said to me at the beginning of the show. Thank you very much for that lovely message. I appreciate that. But look, I'll get right into it because I'm getting back into all the audio. Just been catching up over the past couple of weeks, and I wanted to pass on my opinion about Jinder Mahal. I have no problem with them pushing Jinder Mahal. I think it's a great thing. You want to break into that Indian market, and of course, if you can just get a fraction of what you think you could potentially get, it's going to lead to a lot of money for the company. I guess my issue is, and I think this is the fans' issue, the so-called online fans, because normally when they start complaining, I think to myself, well, here we go, they're making something out of nothing. I guess Jinder Mahal earning a title shot under the guise of SmackDown's the Land of Opportunity is like the Cleveland Browns winning their one game last year and automatically getting a Super Bowl shot against the Atlanta Falcons. It just goes against the integrity of the storyline. So I can understand why fans are upset. Perhaps if Jinder had gone on a bit of a winning streak and then built to that, I could take it. But just for him to win one match and get a title shot, normally I sort of let these things slide, but I can see why fans are getting upset with that. I think they're upset it's because it undermines the credibility of title shots or title opportunities. And also the championship. So do you think that's where the fans are coming from in this point of view?
Yeah, I understand that. It seems like they turned on a dime with him almost, and that's not what you don't want him. You don't want him as the loser part of Rusev, which was at least not three-man band. But yeah, I mean, I do understand that part. I think that, if he has enough, charisma somehow to overcome a little bit of that, and they have enough of what they're going to do with him that can be overcome. But yeah, I do understand that, because, and also WWE slots people in these things for years and years and years and years, and fans get used to seeing them a certain way, and it's hard to adjust. Rich, you want to take some of that?
Yeah, sure. I think this goes into what we've been talking about most of the evening when it comes to the idea of how Vince sees things and where it goes from there. If you guys recall last year, AJ Styles lost clean to Chris Jericho, and then the very next night on Raw became number one contender. Or if you fast forward, you can look at what went down with the whole U.S. title getting a number one contender before the world champion. It's just he thinks in one night I can turn anyone, or I can make anyone a believable contender. And he's kind of been reinforced in a lesser way with the Rhino and to go back to the three-man band, Keith Slater. Yeah, my brain stopped working. He rehabilitated him, or at least he saw him as entertaining in his mind. He could have done what Jason suggested and have him go on a win streak and build up. But I think there's something for the hubris of, I've made him in your eyes. Look what I did for you guys. And the attractiveness of that. I mean, shoot, we've lost all of the callers complaining about, including yourself, James Ellsworth. He's gone from a weekly number one contender and foil to AJ Styles, who was a wrestling heel champion, to the hanger-on Federline character for Carmella.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I wonder whether he's not going to end up a casualty of JBL and Mauro Ranallo, because when he was with, you know, them putting him with Carmella, it just seemed to me like he was on television to be called the turtle without a shell and be insulted by JBL. And that was pretty much his entire purpose. So if they can't do that with him for a while, if he doesn't fade away, which there's some irony there. So, Yeah, you're right. Well, you know, the complaints that I make, definitely, you know, you want to have the hot complaint of the week. You can't just stay on the complaint week after week. You got to move to something else something else to complain about. Jason, how do you respond to that? And what else you got?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with what you're saying there, and especially Rich, your point about how Vince thinks that he can just make people believe what he wants them to believe. I definitely think that. I think he thinks, well, I'm going to get behind the hole for the next four or so weeks, so you will believe that he'll be a number one contender. But I think they underestimate fans paying attention to storylines and things of this nature, because you know, with other TV shows who WWE should be measuring themselves up against, little things like this are covered. And I've been saying this for a while. I think their inability to follow things in a natural order and look after the subtleties, which most people are used to in other TV shows, I think that costs them bringing on new fans. What I wanted to talk about is very ironic. You mentioned about the Reed storyline. And Bruce, I just read your article just then. I thought it was, as always, a very well-written article. But I think one of the major issues with them bullying is going back to that storyline a couple of years ago where you had Paige and Charlotte in that storyline, and they brought up Charlotte's late brother. And if you remember, I remember listening to Ric Flair, and he was talking about, well, they didn't want to make a big deal out of this because Charlotte's early in her career, she didn't want to create any waves. That stuck with me, because then I started to think to myself, wait a minute, someone's in an environment where they feel they can't say no to a storyline that's involving her late brother, because if she does say no, it's going to create waves and it may cost her career. That, to me, is an extreme form of mental bullying. All the other things I can understand, but that one there, that really got to me.
Well, you know, Jason, if that one got to you, think about Randy Orton, who was friends with Eddie Guerrero, having to come out and say Eddie Guerrero's in hell, not in heaven, and what Vicky Guerrero kind of went with, and what the the things that were on the air about Bret Hart and Owen Hart, and think, you know, and angles that were used there, and you know, Dominic Rey Mysterio's son and what they did with Eddie Guerrero, and you know, there's kind of the family things. What, you know, the last thing that Cody Rhodes said to his father on national television, Dusty, the late Dusty Rhodes. And, you know, it's always, well, you know, we're in the wrestling business and, you know, we're for this. We're just trying to get some heat on something and all that. And it's not true. The families aren't happy with that. And the but they bite their tongue because they're wrestling families and they want to work. They want to work, and they want to work for where the money is, and that's where, that's WWE. And so, and to me, that takes you know, not speaking up. That's part of the that's part of the problem too. But that's the, you know, but you don't see you don't see the McMahons doing that. You don't see the McMahons putting themselves in positions of saying that stuff. It would. Maybe they got close to it a little bit with, you know, a little bit with Shane, but with the comments of Stephanie McMahon about her brother. But that's about it. They don't, there's not that we're going to take something really personal and trivialize it and exploit it at the same time on national television. And you're just going to eat it if you want to work here. And if you say no, we won't do it. And later on down the line, you'll miss this opportunity, you'll miss that opportunity, and you'll be gone. And so, yeah, it, you know, there's all kinds of aspects, you know, to the bullying, and there's some things I've heard that I didn't think were bullying, but yeah, that I think is just the unneeded doing that is just not bad, and hopefully. Hopefully, I don't think the bullying culture stops with this generation at all, but I think that maybe it just is made incrementally harder by, you know, by the light that's been shining on WWE. So, Jason, appreciate, great to have you back, and hopefully we'll hear more from you and next week. And Rich, good work.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I also appreciate that I didn't have to chip in that $300 Torch analyst charge that most of the new guys, you know, after this whole moral thing, I'm glad that you guys removed that restriction as part of the intake process.
Well, I just want to say right here, Travis? I just want to say right here that I'm not a bully. No matter what you hear, I'm not a bully. And in fact, I'm the one being bullied. And if I was negative towards somebody, it was because, Rich, they were an idiot. So I just want to like clear the air about that. And in fact, I'm pretty upset, and I don't think it's fair. So okay, we've got that done. But yeah, $300. What? Yeah, way getting over on me. That's what it is. I need a cut of that. If that's what's going on. I'm the one. Anyway, I'm the one. So yeah. So good deal. All right, Rich. Enjoy the kid, and we'll talk soon. I do want to say this too. A week from tomorrow night at the CWF Mid Atlantic Auditorium, it's 80s night and a wrestling show. I am bringing the teachers. We'll see how many come. I think a bunch of them are going to come, from what I can tell, more than last year. And so, if you're a teacher, I'm hoping that Scott will fly in. But if you're not a teacher and you're around the Gibsonville area and you want to come and hang out, it's a good show. We'll have a good time. And it's always – last year was hilarious. It was as far as like – I don't get to go to with civilians to wrestling shows very often. And so that was – it was a great time. So hopefully, you know, come on. And then one other thing, the five-star match between Chip Day and Trevor Lee that I talked about seeing at the Mid-Atlantic Sports Tournament last show I was there, will play in its entirety on CWF Mid-Atlantic at Wednesday night on their YouTube channel starting at 9 o'clock with commentary from Brad Stutz and Cecil Miller. And so and they do a great job. The production value is there. I'm very much looking forward to hearing what people think when they watch this match. Does it live up to what I thought I saw a lot and what I saw it live? And I gave this match stars. It was and there's one moment in this match I want to talk about when people get a chance to see it that you know, definitely the psychology of things is, anyway, it was the best moment in the match, the most shocking moment in the match is not what you normally see as far as that goes. So yeah, check that out. And Wade Keller and I will be back with Bruce Mitchell Audio Show this weekend. It's not been taped so far, but we will have that. And not as many hours of me this week because back to work, but cool to be back. All right, thank you, Rich. Thank you, callers. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, VIP members for the PW Torch Livecast.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip.